Well, everybody, welcome to episode 146 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, it's an exciting time of year with the postseason baseball and softball tournaments going on. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Ankeny Centennial softball coach Brett Delaney and one of his key players as the Jaguars prepare to face Fort Dodge in the Class 5A championship game on Friday night. But right now, I want to bring in a couple of guests from the Ankeny baseball team. Leading off is the team's head coach, who has guided the Hawks to a 31-6 record and an 18-game winning streak. Last night, his team posted a 3-1 victory over Valley in a Class 4A sub-state final to advance to the state tournament for the third straight year. He's Joe Balvans. Joe, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me, Dan. It's good to be back.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night. I was up in Fort Dodge for state softball, so I didn't get to see it, but I did hear a lot about it. You guys were tested by Valley, weren't you?
Yeah, they're a really good team. They play in the other pod in the CIML, that's Polk, Dowling, Johnston, Waukee, them, and I'm probably forgetting.
Urbandale
is the other one. And that is a battle every single night you go out and do that. And in 2 years, we're going to have that every single night. You take us and Centennial and the rest of that group in there. I mean, that's going to be a grind. Add the new Waukee school in there. So it's going to be not that the schools in our pod of Fort Dodge and Mesa City doesn't put together some quality baseball teams, but that is going to be some of the highest end baseball that in the state of Iowa, and it's going to be, you can be 500 in that group, and as you saw with Valley last night, and still be a really, really good team. They have some players in there that I think really highly of, especially the Corbin kid. Mm-hmm. Hits leadoff for him, plays some third base. I saw him pitch up at Sioux City East, just kind of a bulldog up there on the mound. And goes out there and competes. And that's what I thought most about that Valley group was they competed every inning that I saw them play. And even when they made a mistake, they would, so what, next pitch, come back and just keep coming at you. So I told our guys, I go, we have to do what we can to hang a crooked number somewhere and make them chase with Brecht on the mound. And we were able to do that. Riggsy had a big hit. Tandman tacked one on. Was good enough. Their kid, Parizic, did a nice job. Especially out of the windup, he had really good rhythm. When we got him in the stretch was when we kind of found some success offensively.
Well, Brody had another outstanding game on the mound, finishing with a three-hitter and 14 strikeouts. After giving up that unearned runner in the first inning, he was lights out the rest of the way, and he's now gone seven straight starts without giving up an earned run. I mean, you have to feel right now with the way that he's pitching. If you don't make any errors behind him, the other team isn't going to score, are they?
He's a special talent. We've talked about that before. Again, got stronger as the game went. The third and fourth innings, you could really see him hit his stride. And like we talked last night, even when he was almost out of pitches there at the end, I could tell that he had the confidence to go out and get the job done. He doesn't want to come off that mound once he goes out there, and he certainly has just been tremendous. I guarantee you, his velo had to have been sitting mid-90s in the seventh last night, and just said he's going to throw by people. So it's fun to watch. I might only get to run him out there one more time. So we've been enjoying every moment we have.
Oh, for sure. Well, you mentioned the big hits by Riggsy and Webb Tate in the fourth inning that came against Valley's pitcher, Oliver Parizic. He kind of breezed through those first three innings. So you guys made some adjustments the second time through the lineup, didn't you?
Yeah, sometimes he was staying away and he was throwing a lot of strikes. And sometimes I have to remind our guys, hey, especially if a guy that's not gonna run it by you, it's okay to take a decent pitch because you're probably going to get another one in that at-bat sometime that you can still hit hard. And that's the focus, is what are we looking for? What can we hit hard? And when we get it, what do we do with it? If you're going to go first pitch, it can't be a pop-up. It's got to be hard somewhere. It's got to be a line drive. It's got to be a gap shot. It's got to be a hard ground ball where a high school kid has to make a play on a high school field and throw it across the diamond to another high school kid. And that's the focus. And we hit some balls really hard first time through the lineup, just kind of right at people, like we did that against Hoover He mixed and matched. I think he struck out Weston twice on some curveballs, and that's high school baseball. That's their number one. He's competitive. He's been successful here. I think he's like 4-3 after last night. Mm-hmm. He's beaten some really good teams. So, you know, he knows how to pitch. He knows how to compete.
Well, this morning you found out the pairings for next week's state tournament. You guys got the number 2 seed, and you'll play number 7 seed Waukee in a Class 4A quarterfinal on Thursday at 5 p.m. at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. Now, you told me last night that you thought Waukee deserved to be the 5 or 6 seed because of the schedule that they had played. So you're probably not too thrilled about, drawing the Warriors, are you?
Yeah, they're a really good team, and Wentworth is obviously a tremendous arm. And there's no – when you get – especially in 4A baseball, there's no easy road to a state championship. There's challenges all the way down. I haven't 100% made up my mind on what we're going to do on Thursday yet. We're still talking and thinking things through, but I've told you before, you can't worry about Friday until you get through Thursday. So
exactly.
Trying not to get too far ahead of myself and not overthink it. But again, it should be a really good game. They've been swinging it really well. We beat them 1-0 last week with their number 2 guy on the hill, and Brody threw it was his turn. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't overly concerned about it. Again, they've seen him once. We will, again, if Brody can pitch like he did last night and we get the opportunity to hang a crooked number and make them chase, I like our chances.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Wentworth. He threw a 3-hitter and had 9 strikeouts last night in a 13-0 win over Norwalk. And you guys are almost, certain to see him. And you mentioned that Brody, has faced them, but the way that Brody pitches, I don't imagine there's too many adjustments they can make when he's throwing as fast as he does. I mean, you still got to hit the ball.
I mean, other than crank the machine up and work on hitting velo, and I mean, yeah, that's about all you can prepare for. And Wentworth, you meant he's so polished. One of the most polished high school arms I've seen I can remember. Just so much pitchability, lots of pitches for strikes. It's a really good curveball. So we have to. That's our job is to get our guys prepared for him and to be able to handle that. And again, give Brody a little wiggle room so he can go out and be comfortable that if a mistake happens, he doesn't have to be perfect.
Well, you mentioned that Brody did face them earlier. He tossed a 1-hitter with 14 strikeouts. And if you do pitch him again, if he turns in another performance like that, I mean, you're almost certain to win.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a 1-0 ball game again. I mean, who knows? Again, our challenge right now is going from grass to turf. Defense looks a little different. We thankfully have the turf football field out there by the ball field, so we can go get our work in. Just trying to be as routine as we can on defense. Make sure that we have a plan of how we're going to attack. You can't sit there and try to hit all Wentworth's pitches. You probably got to pick one that you want. Something that you're going to focus on and go get that, because if you're trying to swing at all 3 or 4 of what he's got, you might not be super successful. So, we're going to get up there and battle and make sure that we grind every AB. And again, I think it's going to be a really good high school baseball game, just like the last one was last week.
Well, of course, this year's tournament runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday instead of the usual Wednesday, Friday, Saturday that you've had in the past. But that probably doesn't change your thinking too much in terms of your pitching plans, does it? I mean, no matter what day that first game is, if you throw Brody, you can't bring him back unless for some reason you were able to pull him early.
Yeah, unless he's under 40, he's done for the weekend. Unless you were to get an unusually, like a 7 or an 8 or a 6, and he's still under 40, I think you could probably take your chances then with as good as our defense has been and our abilities to swing the bat. But even then is heating him up on Thursday and letting him rest and heating him up again on Saturday best for what's him. Now that the draft isn't a thing, I'd probably leave that up to him, mm-hmm. what he felt like, and you know him as well as I do. You probably know what that answer would be.
Right.
But, again, you got to take the kid into account. It's not my right arm, Dan.
Right. Well, I know you've told me earlier this season that you're fine with playing 3 games in 3 days because you feel like your team is equipped to handle that load. If you can win that first game and Brody does pitch it, then you've got guys like Weston, Folk, Will Johnson, Sammy Andrews, and Dylan Schley that they can handle those next 2 games.
Yeah, and you got to throw Easton Dunwoody in there too. I got those guys I feel really confident with. We're going to go live with them on Monday and get everybody some work and see some live pitching and get after it. But yeah, I'm from Weston to Will to Dylan and Dunwoody. You've got, I think all those guys are capable of going out and giving you 5 to 7 at any time. And that's, there's 6 guys that I have a tremendous amount of confidence in. And even last night, I didn't know, like, if Brody ran out of pitches, you know, sometimes late that strike zone can shrink down and get in that situation, Schley's your guy, right? Because he's going to go in and just pound the zone in that big ballpark and let the defense fly. If I need a strikeout or something like that, you know, Dunwoody has, I know he hasn't thrown a whole lot. I should have thrown him earlier in the season more. He's got tremendous stuff. He's he sits low to mid 80s and just has a hammer, a little unique delivery. I think he's going to be, I look forward to what he's going to do his senior season. He's going to be a big part of what we do.
Well, this is certainly a loaded Class 4A field. You know, all the teams that you would have expected to make the tournament, you know, have qualified. Don't you think this has a chance to be one of the best tournaments ever?
I mean, everybody that I thought would get in is there. I thought Ottumwa and Iowa City was a coin flip game, and I haven't seen either of those teams play this year, obviously. But again, that was the only one that I wasn't sure on. I again felt pretty confident on the Waukee and the Johnston and the Dowling and the PV, Hempstead, all of those, and Prairie. I think it kind of shook out how it went. And sometimes, you know, 4A baseball, you might see one or two, but usually that's kind of how it goes. And it's going to be a great tournament. I think it's going to be fun, be different. We'll be in Iowa City. You know, that's the change in that routine is probably, you know, more tough on me and the coaches as it is the kids. The kids, I think, are excited to go, you know, check into a hotel and go hit somewhere else where I'm such a routine person that I like to get them at the field and hit them at 9 and hit them at 2:30 and get down and go to principal, get in the clubhouse, hang out and go. But, you know, we will play the hand we're dealt and give it our best shot.
Well, if you guys can beat Waukee, you would then play either Johnston or Dubuque Hempstead in Friday's semifinals, and either of those opponents would be a rematch for your team, because last year you won that thriller in the semifinals against Hempstead before falling to Johnston in the final. So you're obviously familiar with both of those teams. How do you see that matchup?
Johnson's so good at what they do, and you know, they're going to be right at home on that turf. But if you get to a 4A state tournament, you can't count anybody out. Hempstead's had a great year, and they play in a pretty tough league over there. And I can remember last year seeing that team. You know, they look like a CIML team with their size and strength and their ability to run the bases. They've got their shortstop's a really good player. I know he was committed to North Carolina. I don't think he is anymore. But I mean, they swing it. I think that'll be a good game. I don't know if I could pick a winner, but you know, you get with Johnson always used to playing on turf, and they're gonna feel right at home there, I think. And the Peebles kid, their lefty, I think does a really nice job on the mound. It's gonna be a tough one.
On the other side of the bracket, top-seeded Pleasant Valley will face Ottumwa in the first quarterfinal, 11 a.m. If the Spartans win, they would get either Dowling Catholic or Cedar Rapids Prairie in Friday's semifinals. You know, how do you see that side of the bracket? Will you be surprised if somebody other than the Spartans, you know, makes it to the title game?
The Spartans have tremendous pitching depth. Like, offensively, they do some things that can cause you problems. But the depth of their pitching, if you were to look at it, is just excellent. And their coach, Coach Stecklin, I think he does a tremendous job with that program. He's got tons of talent out there right now in PV. He's had it rolling for a while, and he made it a point. He made it a point to come. I think he's been over to the central part of the state like 5 and 6 times. He came over in the Prairie. He's came over and played Johnson, came over and played us. I think he went to Polk, too. I know he's played Urbandale and Waukee. So they are battle-tested. They have played the best teams around. And I went over to watch the Johnston game where they were down 1-0 and came back and won. They're an impressive group, especially with what they can do on the mound.
We have to like your team's chances the way you guys are playing right now. Your team can really hit the ball, you know, all over the park with your deep lineup. And if you guys can advance to Friday and then to Saturday, you know, you can get into some of those teams' second, third, and fourth pitchers. You know, you'd have to feel like you'd be able to score some runs in that park.
We do. That's always our goal is let's chase the starter and see what we can get behind, who's behind them. And again, how can we hit a baseball hard somewhere? How can we hang a crooked number on the scoreboard? And with our pitching as a staff, as a whole, make a team chase and just let our defense be routine. I know I've said that a couple times. I don't expect them to be spectacular defensively. I expect them to be good at what I need them to do, and that's field the routine ground ball. And like sometimes you have like I, you should have seen the play Jace made at shortstop last night. Full out dive, popped up. I think he flicked it on his way up to get that guy at first base. And if he hadn't, they might have scored two in the top of the first there.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of a big momentum stopper. And then when we went, came back out and got that three spot in the fourth, you know, I think that's a tall mountain to climb against Brody Brecht.
Oh, for sure. Now, that field over at Iowa City, is that a big park with some big gaps? Is that right?
It's about the same size as ours.
Oh, okay.
It might be a little shallower in center, but I think overall the dimensions are fairly similar to what we play in.
Well, with the tournament being in Iowa City instead of at Principal Park, you know, are you concerned at all that maybe, you know, that will reduce the number of fans that you'll have at the games, or do you think the Hawk fans will still show up in big numbers?
Oh, I think if you saw the stands last night, there was standing room only at our little ballpark there. I think that the fans, especially with last year and the limited tickets, I was talking to somebody about that today about how, you know, I'd get the link and I had to secure tickets for my family and friends, and then I'd give it to the parents, and then the parents would get tickets, and then they'd go public, and that was such a hassle. And in fact, I was telling a story, I forgot to give my wife the link to get tickets before I sent it to the parents, and all of a sudden she's like, I'm not even going to sit anywhere close. I was like, sorry, sweetie. A lot of stuff going on. But yeah, I think that Coach Van Zant and Sickles told me that holds 2,500 people today, and I don't know if they're going to sell standing room only tickets. I would imagine that they might. But I mean, we had 2,000, almost 2,000 at last year's state championship game. So I'm sure it'll be a full park out there in the stands, probably for most games. I would anticipate the Waukee-Ankeny game being a good ticket.
Oh, for sure. Well, this has been such a special group that has done so many great things over the last couple of years. You know, I think a lot of people are wanting to see you guys finish it off with a title, and I wouldn't bet against you guys. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you over there next week, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet.
Take care.
All right, my next guest is a junior catcher for the Hawks. He had a big RBI single to provide an insurance run in last night's game, and he is now batting .284 in the season with two homers, 12 doubles, and 23 RBIs. He is Tamden Webb-Tate. Tamden, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You know, I'm sure it feels good to qualify for state again, but I don't imagine you guys celebrated too much on the field, did you? Because, I mean, you expected to qualify, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, we've been thinking about this since winter, you know.
Well, your team went scoreless until the fourth inning against Valley's Oliver Parizic, and I know Brody told me that maybe you guys were a little rusty since you hadn't played in a while and hadn't really faced live pitching. So did it just take a little time to adjust to Parizic?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've also, you know, at the end of the season, we came off playing a few teams that, you know, didn't have the highest velo, you know, so it was definitely an adjustment for some of our guys, but, you know, we got it done and finally made the adjustment.
Well, Colin had the big two-run double to put you guys ahead, and then you added an RBI single to make it 3-1. Were you pretty confident with the way that Brody was pitching, you know, at that point that the game was over?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that if he had his stuff, you know, obviously they had a few hits off him early in the game, but I could just see that he was determined and he was going to get these last outs and you get us the dub.
Well, Brody finished with a three-hitter. Caleb Corbin had two of the Tigers' hits, and Parizic had the other. Do you remember what pitches those guys were able to hit? I just wondered if either of them was able to catch up to Brody's fastball or not.
I think Corbin, the first at-bat, actually hit fastball. You know, I think he was just ready for it. He had a good timing. And second at-bat, we tried to start him off with a slider, and we got him down a little bit in the count, and then he just, you know, stayed back on the slider. He's a good hitter. And oh, who was the next guy?
Parizic had a hit, too.
Yeah, I think that was probably off of a slider, too. I mean, just timing up with how hard he's throwing. I mean, it's easy to kind of stay back and poke it the other way.
Well, you've caught most of Brody's games this season, and last night's performance was a lot like many of the others. He finished with 14 Ks, which is right about his average. And like a lot of his games, you know, he just seemed to get better as the night went on, didn't he?
Yeah, of course. He always does.
Well, I know Coach Ballvans has told me that, you know, you have some good chemistry going with Brody and also with your Coach Boschka, who calls the pitches for you. Do you usually have a pretty good idea of what Coach is going to call, you know, at this point in the season?
Yeah. I mean, I think that for the most part, the fastball and slider have been, like, his key pitches. But, you know, recently the curveball's been working well. And I think that, you know, me and Boschka, we kind of have an understanding of, you know, sometimes he just is like, hey, you and Brody figure it out. Sometimes, you know, he has certain pitches he wants. So, yeah, we're definitely building chemistry in that sense.
Well, if you had to guess, you know, what percentage of like fastballs would you say Brody pitches? I mean, is it like 50-60% in a game, maybe even higher? Or?
Yeah, I'd probably say about 60. It really just depends, you know. With a team like Valley, they were tough, so, you know, we had to go a little bit to more breaking balls and move on and off the plate. But, you know, some of the games that he's just dominated, you know, some of his no-hitters, whatever, you know, we can just kind of stay with the fastball. He just blows it by everyone.
Sure. Well, I talked earlier with Coach about the pairings for the state tournament. You know, what was your reaction when the pairings came out and saw that you guys are going to be playing Waukee?
I mean, I was excited. I mean, we just played them last, Friday? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just played them. So, I mean, it's a team, it's a familiar face. So, obviously, there's the pros and cons, you know, playing a team we've already played. But, you know, I think it's, you know, we know who they have. We know they're probably going to throw Wentworth. But, you know, it's a team we've already played. So, we should be ready to face off against them.
Well, yeah, you guys posted a 1-0 victory in that game on July 13th. And in that game, you had two of your team's four hits off Waukee pitcher Camden Kaufman, who's their number two pitcher. But, yeah, it does appear likely that you guys will have to face their ace, who is Jackson Wentworth. Now, have you faced Wentworth before, you know, like in any previous seasons, or do you know what the scouting report on him is?
I have not faced him, but, you know, I've heard he's runs low 90s and he can, you know, whip it, but also has a really good curveball, I've heard. So, you know, we'll definitely have to be prepared for that.
Well, Coach Ballvans, you know, didn't want to commit to throwing Brody, but it kind of looks like maybe you guys will have to go that way. He tossed a one hitter and had 14 strikeouts in that first meeting. Do you think that gives either team, you know, an edge in the rematch since Brody has already faced them? I mean, obviously, you know, he dominated them, but, you know, they have seen him now. Do you think that might help their hitters a little bit?
I think somewhat, yeah. I think now they kind of, you know, when you step into the game, you never seen 96, 97. I mean, that's different. It takes a while. You know, they've seen it now. I think they definitely might have a little bit of a edge that they know, but I don't think there should be any problem. I think probably should be able to overcome for sure.
It's still hard to catch up to, even if you've seen it before, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, if you guys win, you would then play either Johnson or Dubuque Hempstead in Friday's semifinals, and I'm guessing you'd like another shot at the Dragons, wouldn't you, since they've beaten you in the last two state tournaments?
Oh, yeah. You know, it'd definitely be great to beat them. Be a good time because, you know, last year, taking us out of the state championship, definitely got a chip on our shoulders, you know, just ready to compete.
Now, are you familiar with the stadium in Iowa City at all? Have you ever played there?
Actually, I think I have before. I went to camp a couple years ago. So, yeah, I've played there once.
Well, Coach was telling me that the stadium's dimensions are pretty similar to what your park is here. So, is there anything unique about that stadium at all?
I don't think so. I mean, it's turf. So, you know, we've been taking reps on the turf field or football field. But, you know, it's a pretty decent-sized park. So, I think, if anything, it should give us the advantage. You know, we're used to that, and we should excel there.
Well, Tam, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future a little bit. Of course, you were also a starting linebacker on the Ankeny football team, and I know you've been receiving interest from schools for both football and baseball. Have you decided which sport you want to pursue in college yet, or are you thinking about maybe playing both?
I have not decided. You know, I think right now I haven't quite got the looks or offers I want yet, but, you know, I'm keeping it open to both. I think right now baseball's leaning a little bit towards baseball, but, you know, I'm always open to possibly do both depending on the situation and the fit of the school.
But you probably don't have, like, a timeline set for, like, when you want to make a decision by?
I mean, I would probably say start of my senior year, maybe for baseball. I would like to know. It would be nice to go into my senior year knowing maybe what school I'd play for. But, you know, if I'm still working hard and I feel like I can get maybe the offer that I want, then whatever time it needs.
Well, obviously, you won a state title in football last fall, and now you've got a chance to win another one in baseball. How do you think this one would compare to the one that you won in football, if you guys can pull it off?
I think it will be almost better just because, you know, losing last year, it almost feels like kind of like a comeback tour. Like, we come back if we were to beat Johnson and whoever we'd play in the state championship. It would definitely be, like, very exciting, especially with my teammates. You know, this is my second year playing with them, and it would just be a big moment for us.
Well, it should be a great tournament. There's a lot of great teams there. I'm looking forward to it. So, hey, good luck next week. I'll see you over there.
All right, thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, go to Jason and the boys at Gershman Mortgage. They can help you out. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. Visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a junior first baseman for the Centennial softball team. Last night, she had a big RBI double to help the Jaguars to an 8-1 victory over Pleasant Valley in the Class 5A semifinals. She's now batting 271 on the season with two homers, eight doubles, and 18 RBIs. She is Lizzie Klunder. Lizzie, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You caught the final out of the game, and you told me afterwards that you were going to keep the ball, that you'd already put it in your bag. So did you find a good place to put it?
No, it's still in my bag. Delaney kind of says something to me at practice about stealing the ball, but I think I have a good spot.
Yeah, well, you don't want to mix it up with some other practice ball or something. So. Well, you guys went scoreless until the fifth inning when you then rallied for two runs, and then you had the RBI double to kind of ignite that six-run outburst in the sixth inning. You told me after the game that you knew you guys would be able to hit the Pleasant Valley pitcher, Caitlin Drish, even if it took a while to get to her. Your hit actually came off of the reliever, Sophia Lindquist. But what was it about their pitchers that, you know, that did make them pretty hittable eventually?
I think out of most of the teams in the state tournament, especially compared to the Iowa City high pitcher that we faced Monday, they were a little slower. And Coach Delaney told us that they would be a little more hittable, wouldn't blow up past us too much, and that it would be their hitting that we would be most worried about. So we thought it would be a higher scoring game, but obviously Sam took care of that.
Well, yeah, the way that Sam was throwing, you know, you guys didn't even need those six runs in the sixth inning. She went on to pitch a four-hitter with nine strikeouts. What can you say about her performance? You know, she's just been lights out, hasn't she?
Yeah, it was. I think it's since the Ankeny game that's, like, something switched in her. Like, she's been great all season, but there's been some games that have been a little rough. But she's all there right now, and she's pitching the best that she's ever pitched.
Well, yeah, of course, last year, Maddie Huseman was your team's number one pitcher, and Sam didn't even throw at the state tournament. You know, so I had no idea that she was going to blossom into such an ace this year. Did you see these type of performances coming from her?
I mean, I had faith in her. I think all of us did. We were pretty surprised, especially when we saw the preseason rankings, actually, like how low we were just because we had lost Maddie. But I think all of us knew that Sam was working really hard in the off season. Like, she had even quit volleyball to make, she really wanted that spot, and I think nobody was going to get in front of her.
Well, your team has now knocked off three consecutive higher-ranked opponents. You beat number four Indianola in the regional final. Then you topped number six Iowa City High in the quarterfinals on Tuesday. And, of course, last night you beat number five Pleasant Valley. Are you surprised at all by the team's postseason run, or did you really believe that this was going to happen?
I mean, especially since last year, I think once we got a taste of the state tournament and after we kind of got the feel of the atmosphere, there wasn't any doubts in any coaches, parents, or players' minds that we wouldn't make it back and make it even farther than we did last year.
Well, now you guys get a rematch against a number two Fort Dodge in Friday's championship game. Of course, you guys lost to the Dodgers 5-3 in last year's semifinals. So I'm guessing, you know, it's safe to say that you guys would like to get some revenge, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. We were really excited, especially when we got the bracket for the state tournament. We saw that they were on the other side. We're like, okay, so we're going to meet them in the state tournament and make it all the way and get another shot.
Well, Fort Dodge has really been on a roll. They've won 17 straight games since losing to number one Muscatine on June 19th, and their winning streak began with a doubleheader sweep over you guys 2 days later. But both those games were one-run decisions. It was 1-0 and 3-2, and your team did split a twin bill with them earlier in the season. So you guys have to feel like you can play with them, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure, especially since we've played them, obviously, four times. Like, and I hope they know that we're going to play with them as well.
Well, Fort Dodge is led by junior Jalen Adams, who's considered by many to be the state's top pitcher. She's an Iowa recruit, and she's allowed just one run on 11 hits in her two wins over you guys this year. And I think you went hitless in both of those games against her. But what makes her so tough to hit?
I think she has a lot of power behind her, and we know kind of the pitches that she throws and what she'll kind of do. We know her approach at the plate against certain hitters. Like, I know against me and Ella, well, she learned from Ella not to throw changeups just because that possibly is her easiest pitch to hit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think just the power that she holds in her pitches, just how hard she throws. I don't think anyone really, we haven't faced anyone that really throws as hard as her.
Well, Sam actually pitched very well in both of her losses to Adams. She allowed just the one run on five hits in the loss at Fort Dodge. And in the earlier doubleheader, you guys actually had a 1-0 lead before Fort Dodge scored four runs off Sam in the sixth inning, and three of those runs were unearned, so that resulted in a 4-1 victory. You know, so I'm sure you guys feel like if you can play some solid defense behind Sam and just make them, you know, earn everything that they get, that, you know, you guys can be right there with them.
Mm-hmm.
One of you guys, you know, have been keeping in contact with your teammate, Kaylin Kwan, who left the team last month to go to boot camp. You know, what does she think of this run that you guys are on?
I know that she was able to call her mom the other day because she gets three phone calls, I think is what it was, and she made sure to tell her mom to tell us congratulations, and she's really proud of us.
Well, if you guys are able to finish this off with another victory, you know, what would that mean to you to win a state championship?
I think it would be pretty cool, especially being only the second year that this school has made it to the state tournament, and there's a lot of outside things that have happened with this team and in, like, within the softball field and with Kaylin, and there's been lots of family stuff outside, and I think there's a lot of people on our side for this game, and there has been through this tournament.
Well, have you thought about, yeah, you know, how you would celebrate if you win the game, or are you going to wait until after the game to worry about that?
I don't know. It depends because it looks like the games might go a little late. Depends if they're good. So we may not get back into town until midnight, 11 o'clock. But I think there'll be some type of celebration either with the parents or players.
Well, it should be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. So, hey, good luck tomorrow night. I'll see you up there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my final guest tonight is the head coach of the Centennial squad. He has guided the Jaguars to a 33-9 record and a second consecutive appearance in the Class 5A state tournament. In about 24 hours, he could be a state championship coach as his team will play Fort Dodge for the Class 5A title. He's Brett Delaney. Brett, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me tonight.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You know, this is a pretty amazing run that your team is now on. You've knocked off the number 4, number 6, and number 5 teams in succession. You know, how surprised are you by what your team has accomplished thus far?
You know, to be honest, not surprised at all. These girls put in a lot of hard work. Starting in the offseason, kind of when we got beat by Fort Dodge last year in the semifinal game, they came back and said that they wanted to find a way to get back to Fort Dodge and then ultimately win a state title. And from the time that the fall ball hit, and with Jags Elite playing together as a squad, and then all the way through the winter, and then through winter workouts, and then once we came into spring ball again, you know, they've put in the time together, and this group has just played together, and it's pretty fun to watch. So to be honest, not surprised at all. Very fortunate to be on this journey that we're on, and it's all the hard work that these girls have put in over the years to get us here.
Well, obviously a big key to your team's success has been the emergence of Sam Klug as a true ace. She's pitched every inning in the postseason thus far, allowing just 5 runs and 17 hits in the 4 games. You know, what can you say about her performances? You know, she's just been a warrior, hasn't she?
You know, Sam has been our go-to. She has been our ace this year. We've been very fortunate. We have, a pitching staff. We've got 5 arms that we could go to. And at some point, all of those girls stepped up throughout the season. But Sam's rose to the top. She's put in the hard work, not only this offseason, but other off seasons. And we went into the state tournament saying she's the one that no one's heard of. And all I've heard from coaches up there is, who's this Sam Klug? Where'd Sam Klug come from? And to be honest, we knew who Sam Klug was the whole time. And she's risen to the top, and it's been fun to see her kind of easygoing attitude, always has a smile on her face. Big hit happens. The next thing you know, the smile's back on her face, and she's ready to go. She's got the nerves of steel up there, and it's exciting to see.
Last year, she was, you know, just kind of a role pitcher for you guys. She appeared in 14 games, and she pitched just a 36 and two-thirds innings. She's already thrown 3 times as many innings this season. Do you think she knew that, you know, Maddie Huseman was graduating after last year and just kind of took it upon herself to step into that number one role?
You know, with our 3 senior pitchers, all of them came in and worked knowing Maddie left us last year. They came into work, and Sam came to work. Sam had a really good sophomore year as well. Last year, kind of that role player, Maddie stepped up to the top, and then this year, Sam rose to the top. I think she kind of said, I want that ball. I want the ball in my hand, and I want to get us back to the state tournament, and that's kind of what she's done for us.
Well, Jenna Wendt is one of your other pitchers, but she actually contributed a huge at-bat last night. She entered as a pinch hitter with 1 out in the 5th inning, and your team down 1-0, and she was able to draw a walk that kind of opened the floodgates for you guys. You know, that was just another case of a player understanding her role and taking advantage of an opportunity, wasn't it?
Yeah, we talk about roles all the time with our team, and you never know when your name's going to get called. And her name was called last night in a big situation, and we needed a big at-bat for her, and she was able to draw that walk and kind of get us going in that 5th inning. So we were very fortunate to her. I turned to her in the dugout. I said, you're going to hit next inning, so be ready. And she was ready when her tied one was called upon her. And I know she'll be ready tomorrow night. When or if that time comes for her, she'll be ready to hit.
Well, freshman Addie Starr then followed with a huge double to keep the rally going. And she's now batting .382 with 12 doubles on the season. And she's had a bunch of big hits in the postseason. You know, she's not playing like a freshman, is she?
Yeah, you know, Addie's not playing like a freshman. We inserted her in the lineup. At third base. She had to fill in a little bit at shortstop early in the year when Lauren was hurt. And she's just an all-around good athlete, a girl that we could really put anywhere. To be honest, catcher's probably her primary spot. With Ella and Sid right there, we were able to find a spot up for her on the field. And ultimately in that leadoff spot too. So, yeah, she's stepping up. She's cool, calm, collected, and just out there making every routine play for us and then stepping up at the plate when she needs to.
Well, you guys tied the score on a sacrifice fly by Anna Christensen. You know, and she's a kid who doesn't put up a lot of gaudy offensive numbers, but boy, she's just a player who just does whatever it takes to win, doesn't she?
Yeah, you know, Anna is a kid who I've never met a girl who loves softball more, knows more about the game, follows the college game, is in tune to all that kind of information, and just goes out and plays the game the right way. She never leaves the field with a clean uniform, and she's always one that's going to grind out an at-bat. And you could never tell if a mistake happens, she's going to come and make that next play for us. To be honest, the ultimate leader of that infield. I know all of our infielders look towards her. I'm at second base. A lot of people don't think that's going to be your captain in your infield. But right now, with her and Ella in the infield, I'm totally confident that every play is going to get made. We're going to know the situation and continue to talk through it with Addie and Lauren and Lizzie out there. And then Sam and Ella as our battery. We're just very fortunate to have Anna to help us there.
Well, then Sydney Morris hit an RBI single to put your team ahead for good, and then you guys erupted for 6 runs in the 6th inning. And it just seemed to me like, you know, once you guys took the lead, Pleasant Valley was just kind of deflated, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, we knew it was going to take a few runs. We knew we were going to score runs last night, and we knew we thought they were going to score runs, and then Sam stepped up and didn't allow anyone after that big hit that they had. It took a true team effort. Once we get those bats going, it's a little hitting's contagious, and we got it contagious last night, and kind of erupted. Sid's been clutch all year. She steps up when she needs to, playing a solid left field for us. And just finding ways to get that done. And I've just never seen a kid come up to the plate just so calm, cool every single time. You just the same expression, I'm going to go through and I'm going to find a way to get a hit. And she's done that, I think, 40-plus times this year. And so we're very fortunate to have her in our lineup as well.
Well, now you guys get a matchup against number 2 Fort Dodge, a team that you're certainly familiar with. You know, I thought Fort Dodge was going to be the favorite to win the title even before some of those other highly ranked teams got beat in regional play. You know, they just really seem to be a team on a mission right now after placing second last year. So you guys got your work cut out for you, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I guess if we're scouted a team, it's Fort Dodge. This will be the 5th time that we've played each other. I think we played each other 3 times last year. We know what's going to come into it. We talked about it with the girls today. What's the scouting report? And to be honest, our players gave us the scouting report. They knew what to expect. They know what to expect. We're excited about the opportunity. Everybody has them pegged as the champion, and we're here to surprise some people. And we've been kind of doing it slowly and surely throughout the season, and now it's our time to rise. And we've talked about it the whole offseason. We're the best team that no one's heard of. And finding a way to get it done, and it's at making every routine play tomorrow night, and then every once in a while we're going to have to make a great play and step up when we can and find a way to bring that title back to Ankeny.
Well, I know Fort Dodge has kind of adopted the mentality that it's them against the world, but like you said, I'm sure most people are looking at this matchup and thinking, you know, that they're the favorite. Does that take some of the pressure off of you guys, the fact that, you know, most people don't expect you to win?
You know, in a game like this where we're at that title game, it's time to just go play our softball game. And at the end of the day, that's all we can do. We can't really focus on who's across from us other than we know a few of their tendencies and things that they're going to try to do, both on the bases, defensively. But ultimately, we've got to go out and play our game. And we've talked about making every routine play. And then a great one's going to happen. Stepping up and finding our pitch when we need to find our pitch. And people can put them as the favorite. That's cool. But ultimately, our girls just going to go out and play their game. They're loose. They're ready to go. And they're going to be an exciting team to watch tomorrow night and hopefully lift that trophy up and enjoy it as a group.
Well, you guys lost 3 of the 4 meetings against the Dodgers of this season, but all the games were close. I mean, your kids certainly have to feel like, you know, they belong on the field with them.
Yeah, you know, we've been in every single game. We've found a way. And it's a good battle. Every time you play Fort Dodge, she puts out a great team. I have a lot of respect for her as a coach. I have a lot of respect for her team. But our girls are ready to go. They're going to be dialed up. They're going to be excited, and we're going to have a big crowd there. And we've talked about that. Finding just the momentum that we need and finding ways to get our runs and manufacture our runs is going to be our key to our game. And just enjoying the time up there. And that's what we've talked about, the girls. We can enjoy it. Okay? We can enjoy it, but we're also going to go up there and we've got a job to get done. And we're not done yet.
Well, Fort Dodge has one of the best pitchers in the state in Jaylen Adams, and she did win both of the matchups against Klug this season. But again, both of those games were extremely close. One was a 1-0 game, and in the other one, you guys actually had a 1-0 lead before Fort Dodge scored 4 runs in the 6th inning, and 3 of those runs were unearned. You know, so do you expect a similar low-scoring type of game tomorrow?
Yeah, ultimately, I do expect a single or scoring game. I know they're swinging the bat well. I know we're swinging the bat well. But ultimately, we have probably two of the best pitchers in the state going after each other tomorrow night. And we know what to expect. Jalen's right up there. She's a superstar. So all proud of her. So excited to see what she can do. She probably can't leave soon enough and get to the University of Iowa. But once she does, I think big things are going to happen. But right now, we know the challenge ahead of us, and we're excited to face her again. And we're excited to get that opportunity to find a way to get that victory. We know that she's beat us twice. We know they've been close games. And we were right there up at their place that second time. And just things didn't go our way that night, and that's okay. We learn from it. We grow from it. And as you can see throughout the season, we've just kind of been building on that time and that momentum, and it's carried us all the way to here to get another chance to face them.
Well, one thing I like about your team is that it seems like a different kid steps up every night. Stars had some big hits in the postseason, and so has Morris, including that home run at Indianola that proved to be the difference in that game. And then last night, it was someone like Wendt who comes up with a big walk to kind of, turn that game around. So I don't know who is going to step up tomorrow night, but you have to feel good about the chances that, somebody on your team is going to come up with a big play at some point.
Yeah, every girl in that dugout's giving us opportunity to play tomorrow night, and that's all that we can ask for. We're excited about that opportunity. We were excited about every role that girls accepted. And someone's going to step up. We're not going to peg who that's going to be, but I know they're going to be excited to be that person. And it might not be someone's perfect all tonight, but you know what? They're the ultimate teammate, and they're going to pick their teammates up, and someone is going to step up and pick them up. And we know we're going to make that next play. We're not going to find that next hit. And just playing that team game with our hunter mentality, play loud mentality that we've had the whole season is just what we're going to go out there and do tomorrow night. And we're going to give it our best shot, and it's going to be an exciting game against Fort Dodge.
Well, Brett, I know one of your players, Allie Edwards, has been dealing with a tough family situation this season, and she lost her sister a week ago. I can't imagine what she's been going through. But what do you think that would mean to her if you guys are able to pull it off tomorrow and win that state championship?
We talked about how this is a family. And when we got the news of Allie's sister early in this season, it hit home. Having three daughters of my own at home, I can't imagine what Allie's mom's going through right now. I know that Savannah passed away within the last week. It's due to a brain tumor, and Allie's been there, been strong throughout the season. Savannah got an opportunity to see Allie and Maggie Fisher, who is really close to the family, on the field together one last time against Carlisle. And to be honest, that this game's more than a game of softball. And things like this, we rally around anybody in our family that needs that rallying, and we've rallied around each other. And I know we have special eyes watching us from above right now, and I know Allie is a true warrior for us. She's in that dugout right now. I'm sure her mind's on softball, but I'm sure her mind's with her family. And to be honest, it should be. And like I just said, it's more than the game of softball. And in this moment, it is more than a game of softball. And I guess we're fortunate to have Allie and Allie's family as part of our family, and know that anything that we can do to help them, we're there for them. And I'm just proud of Allie. I'm so thankful for her family. We actually went out for a special treat today at Outside Scoop. And Savannah would want us there, and she knew that she was watching us, and she's been watching us this whole time. And we went out and enjoyed a little ice cream and our Savannah shirts today. And I know she's going to be watching us tomorrow, and we're so thankful that angels above us, and good things are going to happen tomorrow night.
Well, Brett, I'm sure you got into coaching for a lot of different reasons, and one of them is just to make a difference in your players' lives. But you obviously play to win, and the ultimate goal is to win a state championship. What's that going to mean to you personally if you guys can pull it off?
This game's about anything that we can do for these girls, and ultimately that's what we're here for. As a coach, I'm just here to provide life lessons to help them along their journey. They're the ultimate ones that are going to play the game, and it's going to mean a lot. It's going to mean a lot for them. It's going to mean a lot for the school community, and that's what it's all about. This game's it's their thing, and I'm very fortunate that I have three girls at home that get to watch these role models night in and night out. They've accepted my daughter as a bat girl, and they've accepted anybody that's come up and asked for an autograph and come and watch the game. And ultimately, we're here to grow this game and share this game. And so grateful for the girls' union to be out there and have us give us this opportunity, and all the fans that have supported us, all the sponsors that have supported us. And to be honest, it's going to be a big night for Centennial and Centennial family and the softball family. And just so grateful for the opportunity, thankful for the opportunity that was given to me to lead this program. And so thankful for the group that we've had, the girls that we've had, and the girls that we'll have in the future. And thankful for my coaches. And I'm just excited that they gave themselves an opportunity to play for this title tomorrow night. And ultimately, it's their show, and we're just going to go out and kind of direct traffic a little bit, and they're going to go out and take care of business.
Well, it should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it. So I'll see you up there. Good luck.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And I'm not sure if I'll have a podcast next week. I'm actually going to be on vacation for a good chunk of next week. I will be back for the last couple of days of the state baseball tournament. We should be back in 2 weeks, and maybe we'll have one or even two state championships to be talking about then. So come back then for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.